Well, happy Mother's Day to all of you mothers out there. Thank you, Jeanette. It's my joy and privilege to share God's Word with you today. Let me get set up here. So what I'd like to share today is "To God Be the Glory" is the title of the teaching. That's a good title, right? So, I love that song, "To God Be the Glory." Great things He hath done. So loved He the world that He gave us His Son. We sung that this morning as our first song. And it's just, it's so true that God gets the glory, that He's done such great things for us all. And so I'd like to look a little bit about some of the great things He's done. I'd also like to look at what is not giving Him the glory, and a little bit at what the Scriptures say does give Him the glory. So 1 John, let's go there first. 1 John. And in verse 7, we'll start there. 1 John 4, I'm sorry. Thank you. 1 John 4:7. Beloved, and we sure are. We sure are loved by God. And verse 7 starts, "Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God. And everyone that loveth is born of God and knoweth God. He that loveth not knoweth not God, for God is love. In this was manifested the love of God towards us, because that God sent His only begotten Son into the world that we might live through Him. Herein is love, not that we love God, but that He loved us and sent His Son to be the propitiation for our sins," the payment for our sins. So, God loved us first. When we were unlovable, God loved us. So, what makes us think that He doesn't love us now? Well, right? I mean, if He loved us in the state that we're going to see here in Ephesians 2, let's go there. But how thankful we can be that just God loved us. God loved us so much that He sent His Son for us. Look at Ephesians chapter 2. None of us could have done that on our own, right? None of us were good enough to do that on our own. Look at Ephesians 2, verse 1. "And you hath He quickened," or made alive, "who were dead in trespasses and sins, wherein in times past you walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience, among whom also we had our conversation in times past in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others." We were this by nature. "But God, who is rich in mercy, for His great love wherewith He loved us, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened," or made us alive, "together with Christ. By grace are ye saved, and hath raised us up together, and made us sit together in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come He might show the exceeding riches of His grace in kindness toward us through Christ Jesus." What a wonderful God we have. What a loving God, what a kind God. "For by grace are ye saved through believing, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast or brag. For we are His workmanship, His masterpiece, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them." Look at Ephesians 1. In verse 3, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in the heavenly places in Christ." Wow. You know, to God be the glory, right? He's blessed us with all spiritual blessings in the heavenly places in Christ. What did I do to deserve that?
Nothing.
Nothing, right? Not a thing. How thankful we can be that he's done it. How thankful we can be that he loved us first. "According as he hath chosen us in him before the foundation of the world," foundation, katabole, in world is cosmos. This is referring to after the fall and before Adam was expelled from the garden, God foreknew our dilemma and he planned for our redemption and salvation. So he foreknew that in that period of time after Adam had fallen and before he was cast out of the garden, God had a plan. And what a loving, kind God he is. What a delivering God he is. And look at what it says in verse 5. Having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will, to the praise of the glory of his grace, wherein he, God, has made us accepted in the beloved. You are accepted in the beloved. I am accepted by God. Anyone who's born again of God's Spirit, they are accepted of God. That's almost too hard to take in, isn't it? That God would love us that much, that he would give us that much mercy, that much grace, that much kindness, that he would put us in his family. To God be the glory. You know, great things he hath done. You know, God waited so long for children that would love him. And, you know, the children of Israel, I wanted to just briefly touch on that. You know, they were usually complaining to God. They were usually not thankful. They usually dishonored God with idols. They usually, let's look at Exodus 20 real quick. We won't spend too much time here, but, you know, God deserves our praise. He deserves our glory. He deserves to have the glory, right? Exodus 1, chapter 20, verse 1. Chapter 20. I'm sorry, I didn't give you the chapter again. "And God spake all of these words, saying, I am the Lord thy God, which brought thee out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. Thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image, or any likeness of anything that is in heaven above, or that is in the earth beneath, or that is in the water under the earth." Does that pretty much cover everything? "Thou shalt have no other gods before me. Thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image, any likeness of anything that is in heaven above, or that is in the earth beneath, or is in the water under the earth. Thou shalt not bow down thyself to them, nor serve them. For I, the Lord thy God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children unto the third and fourth generation of them that hate me, and showing mercy unto thousands of them that love me, and keep my word," keep my commandments. The children of Israel knew that they were supposed to give God the glory. They knew that they were supposed to have no idols, not worship them, not pray to them. And yet all through the Old Testament, there's example after example of them doing the opposite. Look at Jeremiah chapter 2. And it's good learning for us all, you know, that we can know what they didn't do properly and not glorifying God, so that we can do a better job. You know, we are His children. He has loved us so much. He has put us in His family. And in Jeremiah chapter 2, in verse 13, and this is familiar to you, "For my people have committed two evils. They have forsaken me, God, the fountain of living waters, and hewed them out cisterns, broken cisterns that can hold no water." Look at what they were doing in Jeremiah chapter 3. Verse 6. "The Lord said also unto me in the days of Josiah the king, Hast thou seen that which backsliding Israel hath done? She has gone up upon every high mountain and under every green tree, and there hath played the harlot." And every high mountain, it was the high places and in the groves where they worshiped the false gods. "And I said, after she hath done all these things, Turn thou unto me. But she returned what? Not. And her treacherous sister Judah saw it. And I saw when, for all the causes where by backsliding Israel committed adultery, I had put her away and given her a bill of divorce. Yet her treacherous sister Judah feared not, but went and played the harlot also. And it came to pass through the lightness of her whoredom that she defiled the land and committed adultery with stones and with stocks." And this is a derogatory statement about what God thinks of idols. Stones and stocks refers to statues, idols, icons, images, anything that's put ahead of the one true God, right? Because God deserves the glory. God deserves our honor and glory. And this is the stones and stocks. Look at Jeremiah chapter 7. In verse 22, it says in chapter 7, "For I spake not unto your fathers, nor commanded them in the day that I brought them out of the land of Egypt concerning burnt offerings or sacrifices. But this thing commanded I them, saying, Obey my voice, and I will be your God, and ye shall be my people. And walk ye in the ways that I have commanded you, that it may be well with you." That's God's heart for that was God's heart for the children of Israel, and that's God's heart for each and every single one of us as His people, that it would be well with them. "But they hearkened not, nor inclined thy ear, but walked in the counsels and in the imagination of their evil heart, and went backward and not forward." They went backward and not forward. Look at Jeremiah 10. Verse 1, "Hear ye the word which the Lord speaketh unto you, house of Israel. Thus saith the Lord, Learn not the way of the heathen, and be not dismayed at the signs of heaven, for the heathen are dismayed at them." You know, false astrology, you know, is one thing too that they were doing that God abhors. For the customs of the people are vain. For one cutteth a tree out of the forest, and work the hands of the workmen with the axe, They deck it with silver and gold. You know, they build their idols up and they make them real, real pretty. And they worship them and pray to them. And this, God abhors that. You know, it's not honoring God to do that. It's not giving God the glory to do that. And that's what they were doing. He calls them brutish and foolish. Look at Psalm 115. Let's get out of here as soon as possible. Jeremiah is full of learning on what they were doing to forsake God, and hewing cisterns out for themselves. But we don't have to do that. Boy, for some reason I can't find... My Bible's falling apart here. Uh-oh. 17. And it goes from... Oh, here it is. Okay. I thought I lost a chapter or a psalm. Psalm 115, verse 1. Not unto us, O Lord, not unto us, but unto thy name give glory. Right? To God be the glory. For thy mercy and for thy truth's sake. You know, where would we be without God's word? The truth of God's word would be nowhere. We wouldn't know that we're accepted in the beloved. We wouldn't know that we're born again of God's spirit. Wherefore should the heathen say, where is now their God? But our God is in the heavens. He hath done whatsoever he hath pleased. Their idols are silver and gold, the work of men's hands. They have mouths, but they speak not. Eyes have they, but they see not. They have ears, but they hear not. Noses have they, but they smell not. They have hands, but they handle not. Feet have they, but they walk not. Neither speak they through their throat. They that make them are like unto them, so is every one that trusteth in them. Isn't that a terrific section? You know? O Israel, trust thou in the Lord. He is their help and their shield. Isn't that wonderful? Verse 12, the Lord hath been mindful of us. He will bless us. He will bless the house of Israel. He will bless the house of Aaron. And may I say, he has blessed all Christians in Christ Jesus. And we all know that, right? He's blessed us so much. He will bless them that reverence him, the Lord, both small and great. The Lord shall increase you more and more, you and your children. You're blessed of the Lord, which made heaven and earth. The heaven, even the heavens are the Lord's, but the earth hath he given to the children of men. What a wonderful section. Look at Ephesians chapter 3. Romans chapter 3. I'm sorry. Yay, we get to go back into the epistles. But to God be the glory. Great things he hath done. Romans 3, verse 19. Now we know that whatsoever things the law saith, it saith to them who are under the law, that every mouth may be stopped, and all the world may become guilty before God. You know, none of us were good enough, but God had a plan. Therefore, by the deeds of the law, there shall no flesh be justified in his sight, for by the law is the knowledge of sin. But now the righteousness of God without the law is manifested, being witnessed by the law and the prophets, even the righteousness of God, which is by the right way of believing of Jesus Christ, unto all and upon all them that believe, for there is no difference, no difference between the Judean and Gentile. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, being justified freely by his grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. What a wonderful thing. Look at Ephesians 5. None of us are good enough on our own, but we've been made accepted because of our believing, because of accepting the Lord Jesus Christ, as you all know. But Ephesians 5, verse 20, I wanted to cover that for a second. Giving thanks always for all things unto who?
God.
God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. We can be ever so thankful, and we're supposed to pray to God, not idols. You know, there's millions of people out there that pray to idols. We don't need to be a part of those people. We are God's people. We can give God the glory by praying to him, Not any person, not any saint. We are supposed to pray to the true God in the name of Jesus Christ. Isn't that great? What else gives God the glory then? Well, let's look at Luke 2 for a second. Because, you know, our desire is to give him the glory, to give him the honor. He's loved us so much. He's given us so much. Luke 2, verse 8. And there were in the same country shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid. And the angel said unto them, fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And ye shall, and this shall be a sign unto you, ye shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of heavenly host praising God and saying, glory to God. Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. The angels even gave glory to God, and this event was a glory to God. The birth of God's only begotten Son, our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, was what mankind needed, and it was a glory to God. Look at Philippians 2. Philippians 2, verse 9. It says, wherefore God also has highly exalted him. It's talking about our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, that God has highly exalted him and given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of things in heaven and things in earth and things under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. That gives God glory. The new birth gives God glory. The true God. Isn't that great to know? Look at 2 Corinthians. And this is by no means a comprehensive teaching on how to give God the glory. But we're just hitting a few points that were fun to look up and think about, because we don't want to be like Israel. We don't want to turn our back to God. We don't want to dishonor God by carving out idols or praying to idols or putting anything ahead of the one true God. And we're imperfect humans, but we can do our best and we can get better every day to try to honor God and try to give him the glory. So that's what I was thinking about when I was putting this together. 2 Corinthians 1:18, I was going to go there. 2 Corinthians 1:18. Oh, yeah. But as God is true, our word toward you was not yea and nay, for the Son of God, Jesus Christ, who was preached among you by us, even by me and Silvanus and Timotheus, was not yea and nay, but in him was yea. For all the promises of God in him are yea, and in him amen. Unto the glory of who?
God.
God. By us. That's where the glory goes, to God, right? That's what we want to do. The Word of God is a glory to God. His Word gives Him glory. His Word spoken gives Him glory. Look at Psalm 138. Well, I was glad to get out of Jeremiah. I'm sure you were too. I'm sure you were too, right? You can only take so much of that. Psalm 138, verse 2. I will worship toward thy holy temple and praise thy name for thy loving kindness and for thy truth. And haven't we seen that in the scriptures? Loving kindness, our God. And for thy truth, for thou hast magnified thy word above all thy name. That's what God thinks of his word. And we should think of the same way. It doesn't matter what the world thinks. The world doesn't think this way. The world doesn't, a lot of times, give 2 cents about this word of God. But look at what God has done. He's magnified it above all his name. You know, God's word gives God glory, and it is his word, and he does have a high opinion of it. So who should we agree with? We should agree with God on that one, right? Romans 4. Romans 4. Verse 20. He staggered not, this is talking about Abraham, he staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strong in believing, giving glory to who? Believing gives glory to God. Believing God's word gives glory to God. We can do that. We can do that. We can study God's word. Each Christian, it's up to each person, each born-again one, to respect God's word, realize that it does give God glory, realize that believing gives God glory, the glory. And look at what Abraham did. And being fully persuaded that what he, God, had promised, he was able also to perform. And, you know, from that deliverance, right? We know the record, deliverance. So, believing gives God the glory. Acts 10. I'm going to verse 44. While Peter yet spake these words, the Holy Spirit fell on all them which heard the word. They heard the word of God. This is talking about the Gentiles receiving Holy Spirit for the very first time. And they of the circumcision which believed were astonished, as many as came with Peter, because that on the Gentiles also was poured out of the gift of Holy Spirit. And how did they know that? For they heard them speak with tongues and magnify God. Speaking in tongues magnifies God. Speaking in tongues glorifies God. God's word, he's magnified it above his name. Speaking in tongues magnifies God. So it doesn't really matter what the world thinks of these things, you know. Christians need to hold on to what God's word thinks, what God thinks, you know, what gives him the glory. And it doesn't matter what the society thinks. They're never going to agree with us. That's a wonderful record right there. And look at Acts 11, verse 18. When they heard these things, they held their peace and glorified who?
God.
This is Peter telling those about what happened at the household of Cornelius, that the Gentiles received Holy Spirit, and that they spoke in tongues and they magnified God. Speaking in tongues magnifies God, and it glorifies God. This glorified God, the true God. Of course, the adversary doesn't like it when anyone speaks in tongues, right? It's okay. We don't care. Colossians 1. And each and every Christian has the same Holy Spirit that they and can manifest as they want to. It's just a matter of making up your mind that it is God's will and it does glorify God. Colossians 1, verse 26. Even the mystery which has been hid from ages and generations, but now is made manifest to his saints, to whom God would make known what is the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. Isn't that something? Christ in you, the hope of glory. Every single Christian gets it. Christ in you, the hope of glory. The mystery glorified God. Christ in you glorifies God. That's what we want to do, is glorify God. Romans 15. Like I said, God has waited so long for this, you know, for people that would glorify him and love him back. Romans 15, verse 5. Now the God of patience and consolation grant you to be like-minded one toward another according to Christ Jesus, that ye may with one mind and one mouth glorify who?
God.
Being like-minded on God's word glorifies God. Isn't that something? Verse 6. That you may with one mind and one mouth glorify God, even your Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Don't you think he wants that? He does. Doesn't get it often enough, I would say. Romans 9. This is a cool one, and I'm running out of time. Romans 9. You're going to like this one. Verse 21. Hath not the potter power over the clay? It's talking about God. And he does. The answer is yes. Hath not the potter power over the clay of the same lump to make one vessel unto honor and another to dishonor? What if God, willing to show his wrath and to make his power known, endured with much long-suffering the vessels of wrath fitted to destruction, and that he might make known the riches of his glory? Didn't we just read that? Riches of his glory, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. He might make known the riches of his glory on the vessels of mercy. Consider yourself one of those. Which he hath afore prepared unto glory. Unto glory. We are prepared unto glory. Christians, all Christians are prepared unto glory. Even us, whom he hath called, not of the Judeans only, but also of the Gentiles. And as saith also in OC, I will call them my people, which were not my people, and her beloved, which were not beloved. And it shall come to pass that in the place where it was said unto them, ye are not my people, there shall they be called the children of the living God. We are that. The children. You know, it's just to God be the glory, great things he hath done. 2 Corinthians 4. We'll close there, I guess. Second Corinthians. How does it feel to be a child of God? How does it feel to be accepted in the beloved? It's not about you. It's about God. It's about how wonderful he is. It's about how big and magnificent he is. I know you guys already know that. 2 Corinthians 4, verse 13. And the proof that we have is that we can speak in tongues. It gives him glory. It magnifies God. And we get talked out of it. Christians get talked out of it. Some of them don't even know it, that they can do it. 2 Corinthians 4, verse 13. We have the same spirit of faith, according as it is written, I believed, and therefore have I spoken. We also believe, and therefore speak, knowing that he which raised up the Lord Jesus Christ, who is that? That's God. Our God, right? Shall raise up us also by Jesus and shall present us with you. For all things are for your sakes. Wow. That the abundant grace, and it's abundant. None of us are perfect. You know, we needed grace. We needed this love that God shed towards us. That the abundant grace might through the thanksgiving of many redound to the glory of God. To the glory of God. Thanks. Being thankful is a glory to God. And that's what Israel wasn't most of the time. They were just they complained all the time. They saw God's deliverance and they just continued to not be thankful. And being thankful is a big deal to God, to be thankful, to give him the glory. Speaking in tongues, by the way, gives thanks well. We won't go there now, but I'm not going to cover that verse. But, you know, to be thankful to God, speaking in tongues gives thanks to God. Speaking in tongues glorifies God. I'll read that verse again, verse 15. For all things are for your sakes, that the abundant grace might through the thanksgiving of many redound to the glory of God. For which cause we faint not, but though our outward man perish, yet the inward man is renewed day by day. For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, worketh for us a far more exceeding eternal weight of glory, while we not... What eternal weight of glory. We're going to see some glory. And, you know, we're not going to go through all of that today, but our hope is just wonderful. It's the hope of glory. While we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal. So, you know, we just need to remember to give God the glory. Great things He has done, like the song says. You know, we need to remember to love God, to avoid idols, to avoid praying to idols. Pray to God in the name of Jesus Christ. We're supposed to love one another. We're supposed to remember that God's Word, He's magnified His Word. Believing gives glory to God. The new birth gives glory to God. Speaking in tongues, the mystery we covered. Speaking the same things gives glory to God. And, of course, being thankful gives glory to God. So, He has certainly given us many things to be thankful about, and it is to Him that we should give our honor and our glories. The glory goes to Him. So anyway, I'll pray. Thank you for being here this morning. Father, what a joy it is to know some of the truths that are in Your Word concerning us being children of Yours, and that You have loved us before when we were not even lovable, and that You have made us accepted in the Beloved, and that we can every day do our best to give You honor, to give You the glory that You deserve by learning Your Word and by holding it forth, and also by manifesting Holy Spirit. Father, how grateful we are for that Holy Spirit. To know that we're Yours, children of Yours, and we're ever so thankful and grateful, and we just give You the glory this morning. In the name of Jesus Christ, amen.